It's 88.5 with Nick Harcourt. Our guest in studio is Devendra Banhart. We're going to hear a couple of songs from the new album, which is just out now, called Ma. And then we're going to come back and chat a little bit. First of all, the songs.
It's getting too late. Tell if it's too soon. And the future was being born. Right here in this room, press the button of world peace and wipe out everything but the moon. Alright. Kandori ongaku shikatagane, like a flower on an eastern block, living from boo to boo. That's all the world. Some of us know, that's all the world some know. Well, all the death in my house makes it easy to shop online, where the signal is strong and the tech flows like wine. Well, I know you traveled far, but you're still where you are. Look out. Kanturi. What's the loving I've made to the loving I lack? I showed up at your wedding hoping you would take me back. Cause I was beautiful when you looked at me like that. Look out. Kanturi ongaku. Alright. Shikata. Like a mummy dead 3,000 years, finally letting smile. That's all the love that some of us know. That's all the love some know. Well, the older I get, less I fear anyone I see. And yet all the more I fear humanity. Well, you called me on the phone, but you did. I said, look out. Tal vez
Our guest in studio is Devendra Banhart. Great to see you. I think it's 15 years since the last time I saw you. You look good.
So do you. Nice to see you again. I know that it's you wanted a little bit more time before we hung out. I'm sorry.
I hope it's not another 15 years because I'll be old and gray and dribbling. So let's talk about this album. Obviously, that's the thing we're here to talk about, although we're going to talk about life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah, I think
along the way.
Yeah. Dribbling.
Dribbling. That's where we're all headed.
It's true. It's very true.
It's terrible.
I mean, it really is true, though. Everything is disintegrating constantly. This whole thing of nothing is sustainable. Literally nothing is sustainable. These sustainable things, it's more like, is this less unsustainable? But the true sustainability is totally impossible. Everything is just constantly changing and disintegrating to some degree, which is a depressing thought, but also there's something really beautiful and if you can embrace it. Okay, my God, this thing is changing.
And these are the choices we have to make every day.
Yeah, it's true. What's
disintegrating
disintegration
less?
Or yeah, exactly, or do I pretend like it's not happening?
You got a new album.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. Called Ma.
Yes,
right. It seems to deliver a simple concept, which is, yeah, motherhood.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Did the concept come first and then the songs, or did the songs come and then they dictated the name of the collection?
I think the environment that I don't want to speak for anyone else, but the environment that I'm in dictates what's being written about, right? What the songs are going to be about. And I'm in an environment where everyone in my band has these babies, they all have these kids. Some of them are like toddlers now. And so I've been observing that relationship, this maternal, paternal relationship between parent and child. And these people, my man, I've known them since they were kids. So it's a real trip to see these people I've known since they're kids now with their kids. And I'm observing it. I'm finally the auntie that I've always wanted to be. And I get this, I have the luxury of getting to go home and writing about it. I don't have any children. I live alone. And I can go home and process the kind of time spent observing that relationship and then write about it. And that's just the natural environment that I've been in. At the same time, I'm realizing maybe I won't have any kids, maybe I will, but it feels like a record is coming out that is kind of a gift to some child. It'd be everything I'd want to say to a child, you know. And in some senses, maybe it's everything I wish someone had said to me. But the maternal theme kind of began with the environment of being around all these kids and watching that relationship, this parent-child relationship. And sometimes it also helps to kind of get away from your world. And so I was on tour, and it was just Noah Georgeson and I, and we had the opportunity to record in Kyoto in a temple. And there, from that vantage point, it made it very clear that we wanted to make this record about maternity, and this record that kind of included this sense that when you're born, you really see just one person as your mother. And maybe one of the definitions of growth, of expansion, of like when people say they're working on themselves, maybe one of the definitions might be, can you see mother beyond just this one person? Can you see mother in other people? Can you see mother in other things and these elemental forces? Can you see mother in trees and in the sun and in the moon? And I thought the wonderful, the most ultimate kind of primordial mother is this ocean, you know, is the ocean. So we knew we needed to be near the ocean to make this record. And then just that concept of can you see mother beyond this one person is a challenge, but also something that can help you kind of get along with other people too. And so that started to fit into it.
When you mentioned Noah, you've collaborated before, right?
Yeah, we've made every record together.
Exactly. So what was it about being in Kyoto and in that temple that triggered this?
I think it was being first of so far from our world, even though we love Japan deeply, deeply. It's the only place I could probably live other than California. And it's a place I traveled to a lot and I've got a lot of relationships there and with the place itself, but it's not where we live, and it's the other side of the world from where we live. And so from that vantage point, you can get a clear sense of what it is that you want to do when you're making a record. Somehow, that's just how it happened. And being in this temple where the environment isn't really defined by inside outside, where like the line between the exterior natural environment, which is it's really in this garden surrounded by giant bamboo trees, and the zendo where we're tracking, which is a space where you actually meditate, is very blurred. It's very open. All the doors are open. It's not really doors. Everything's just kind of flowing into each other, and we wanted to kind of create that with the album. And one of the ways we did it was record the Pacific Ocean for 24 hours when we got to one of these little houses where we recorded on the coast of California. And every single song on this record has that track of the Pacific. You can't even hear it, but just to, I don't know, maybe magnify that sense of having this tremendous primordial mothering quality.
And it's,
you know, present.
Just sort of there underlying the whole collection.
Yeah, and I feel like the architecture to so many of these temples and generally in Japan, it really does a wonderful job with not excluding the outside world.
Let me ask you about Big Sur, because I know you recorded there, and it's such a special place.
Yes, it is.
I've only been there a couple of times, and it's, you know, you've got to give yourself some time to spend up there. Mm-hmm. You can't just drive up there for the day, right? From LA, for example. You need to spend a little bit of time there. But when you're in a place like that, you're out of town, you're surrounded by nature. What does that bring to the process? You know, I used to live in Woodstock, New York, and a lot of records used to get made up there, and people would camp out there for, you know, 3 months or something. And they would always say, living in the woods brings something to, you know, the process of going into the studio. What is it about being in a beautiful place like Big Sur, surrounded by nature and right next to the beauty of the ocean?
It's such an experiential thing, you know. Once you're there, it's like you wouldn't ask that question. But I think it's that it seems so obvious to open up the windows, and it seems so obvious to include that environment. And once you make the trip to a place that's essentially far from the world that you live in, and it's not a place that can be tamed. I think that's one of the extra attractive things about it, is that it'll never get developed. It'll be developed by like maybe four people every 20 years can maybe build a house there. So it maintains its purity, maintains its total primordial wildness is just really there, and you can still almost get a sense of whatever people like Jamie D'Angulo like experienced when they were there, or if you're obsessed with Henry Miller. I mean, it's close to what they probably experienced while they were there. And but one thing is that there's a purification to it. because you're kind of forced to be, to commune with something as almost otherworldly, as pure wildness. And there are very few places that you can have a almost curated experience with something so primordial and amazing as a waterfall. And they're all up there. And so you can really get lost. It can actually be dangerous, but for the most part, it's about how you do that dance with something as essential as nature. And it's so important to actually have that connection.
The instrumentation on this album seems to fit that feeling as well. Using wind instruments, strings, guitar and piano, of course, as well.
I'm so embarrassed. I mean, you really just answered. That's the answer I wish I had given. Like, forget everything I just said. Really, I'm like rambling. By the way, I'm sorry.
We're letting
you
ramble.
Forget everything I just said.
Tape is cheap.
I forget it all. And yeah, you're right.
But was that deliberate?
Yes. And you're pointing something out that makes so much sense. That does have to do with the influence of not making a record in an urban environment where, for the most part, you're trying to shut the world out. Like, this is so fun. We're in a big city, and we can kind of explore it and let it influence us. And then we go into the studio, and that's our insular space. This is, we are surrounded by gigantic trees and the Pacific Ocean. That's about it. We do not need to shut all the windows. We don't need to soundproof the space. We want to include that. And that does affect the instrumentation so much. I hadn't even thought of it. But
we're here
because
to help.
On the last record, everything was synths. On the last record, it was
exactly,
like, okay, we wrote these parts and then we played them on different synths or we transcribed them to the koto. There's almost no organic instruments on that record. It's a synth-heavy record. I think there's one song with the acoustic guitar. That's it. So this record, we thought, oh, obviously, well, let's go and let's actually play have the real instrument play. Let's have a real piano and let's have real strings. But you were pointing out something so obvious that I hadn't seen, which is that, of course, it's because of the environment that we were in.
Let me ask you about a couple of the collaborations on this as well. And I do want to talk about a couple of the songs in particular. But first up, Vashti Bunyan, who is a dear friend. And you've described her as a mother archetype.
Mm, yes.
So can you expand on that and tell us about the duet that you did, Will I See You Tonight?
A lot of the record is this expression of gratitude to the kind of mothering qualities of music and art. And Vashti really exemplifies that, just like Carole King exemplifies that. These are these kinds of mothering wise archetypes, and they've been incredible sources of comfort and of love, and they've like nurtured me and really really been there for me when I really needed them. And just by putting on their music, I mean, you know, Vashti is a real friend, and so also literally as a person I've turned to many, many times, and they've been incredibly helpful and really loving. I mean, just so loving. So I asked Vashti to sing on this record that so much of it is about this mothering archetype and this nurturing kind of this expression of, like I said, this thank you letter to how mothering music has been. And Vashti, to me, is the archetype of that. So I asked her to play on the record.
You mentioned Carole King, and there's a great story about a song called Taking a Page.
We were worried because...
Can you give us that story?
I mean,
how did the song come about, first of all?
The song comes about when... it's possible that I was in Japan when Trump was elected, and it seemed extra surreal. It seemed like, I think I'm watching like a weird TV show, like it's a Japanese show that makes a joke about some like alternative, like apocalyptic world where Trump gets elected. That can't be real. And then I get home and it's real and I can't believe it. And just my intuitive, all I could think of was I have to listen to Carole King constantly now. This is the only way I'm going to be able to get through this.
Why? Give me the descriptor. Why?
Because it's like somehow that's my safe place.
Okay.
I listen to Carole.
And
any song, and I go, okay, things aren't so bad. Things aren't going to be so bad. There's people like Carole King. okay, like, this is how I'm going to get through this.
That's amazing that you were able to find comfort.
And I remember I played a show the day I got back, and I think I said, like, you guys, it's going to be tough. We're going to need to donate a lot of money to all of the charities that are going to try to counterbalance the situation. And we're going to have to be vigilant. We're going to have to march. We're going to have to do our best. And we're going to have to listen to Carol.
And everyone should get a copy of Tapestry.
Oh, and I said, and we all have to listen to Carol.
So this song came about as a result of that.
So it kind of is born from that thing. And I'm thinking about Carol. I'm also thinking about the fact that the record is sort of everything I'd want to say to a child that I may or may not have. Maybe this song is me introducing myself to this child. And so it feels like a song about my entire life. You know, therefore, I have no idea what it's about. I don't really know what it's about. You know, my life. I don't know what my life is about, and it's singing about that to some degree. And so, it also feels like this. I'm introducing myself to this imaginary child, and there's the line, direct line of Carol King's, and we reached out, and finally it got to her, and I think she just said, okay,
sure.
I like it. Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
So that we were very happy, very honored. And Kate LeBond is also on the record.
I was going to ask about Kate LeBond. She's
on the
backing vocals on a song called Now All Gone.
Now All Gone. And I don't know how she managed to do it. Kate made one of, I think, the best records I've ever heard in my life, and certainly one of my favorite records of the year. And she had just released it, is on tour. And I just, she's my friend and I love her. I did a very shitty thing, which is ask her to sing on this record, knowing that she's on tour and how difficult that is to do anything but just focus on the show that night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so much work. And I was a terrible friend. And I asked her to sing on the record, and somehow, miraculously, but of course it's Kate, so of course she can do anything. And she managed to, at some point in tour, sneak into a studio, sing a little bit, and she's on the album too.
Fabulous. I know that Spanish is obviously as much of your language as English is, and I know that you're deeply affected by the current situation in Venezuela because you grew up there. And you have family there, and everything appears just frozen in chaos there at the moment. So,
that's an accurate way of putting it. Frozen in chaos. Yeah, it's definitely frozen in chaos. And I speak every day with my brother, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. What's going on? How does it feel? And actually, that's the answer, which is we're kind of just holding our breath, hoping for something to change. Something has to change. We're optimistic. Things might actually change for the first time, finally, because it's been like a 20-year decline.
Sure.
But it is at this moment really frozen in chaos kind of thing.
And Venezuela, I am guessing, also plugs into the mother.
Absolutely,
concept,
yes.
Behind this.
Yeah.
So how does that infuse the material? I know a couple of songs in particular, but I mean, taking that understanding of a place that you lived, a place that formed you, that is still the home to people who you love and love you, and bringing that into this concept of motherhood that sort of infuses the album.
That's the most kind of heartbreaking side of it to me, is that this is a country that's been a mother to me, and there's songs that are for Venezuela and about the situation, and the situation of course is always on my mind, so it's going to make its way into the writing. But the real personally painful thing, other than just the suffering of so many people, is that I can't really help, is this helplessness of not being able to really do anything substantial, because real help, which at this moment needs to be in the form of food and medicine, isn't being allowed in. You see, so it's a real dictatorship that is doing a terrible job as a dictatorship, because a good dictatorship fights the whole world. It's us against the world. Whatever, North Korea or something, like, it's us against this whole world. But this terrible dictatorship is fighting its own people. And there is no medicine and there is no food. And if somebody tries to send a significant amount, it's being blocked. It's not being allowed in. So that helplessness is, of course, augmented by the fact that it's my own brother, it's my own uncle, it's my own aunt, it's my own cousins. I mean, I can't get them out there. That's definitely a part of the record.
If you look at Ma now as a collection, if you look at the songs as a collection, what do you think are the life lessons that you've brought along the way with you that culminated at this moment in this collection of songs?
Well, really, probably, you know, maybe don't really trust your own opinions.
I thought you were going to say don't trust anyone, which I was about, yeah, man, right on.
And don't trust yourself. It's actually don't trust yourself. And it really is okay to not know. I feel like it's really okay to not know. Really embrace your own not knowing. And there's so much strength in vulnerability. And definitely, in the words of Chogyam Trungpa, lean into the sharp points. That's really the only way. And really let fear be your guide. You know, what am I afraid of? And follow that down. It's a good guide. It's a good lantern.
Let me ask you about this last song that you're going to play for us to wrap this up. You're singing in Portuguese in this song, and it's called Carolina. And the thing that I find interesting about this song is it's actually a song about a song. Is that right?
Yes.
It's a samba. It's a Brazilian samba made famous by Caetano Veloso. And written by, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Chico Buarque.
Amazing. Great job. Beautiful. Chico Buarque.
Okay.
No, you did really good. You said it.
Thank you. I'm always a little weird on Portuguese, but apparently you are as well.
I am too. Exactly. I am too. And the song is about that.
Yeah.
It's a song to a song. I don't know anyone named Carolina, but I love that song. It's like a standard at this point. Everyone covers it, but it's a Chico Buarque song.
So this is a love song about another song.
Yes.
It's a love song to a song.
It's a love song to a song. And continuing with that theme of kind of music's mothering qualities. And it's also a love song to a song. And it's also an admission of not knowing Portuguese. It's also a plea for forgiveness. I'm so embarrassed. I don't know Portuguese. Maybe someday. That's how it ends. The last line is, I wish I spoke Portuguese. Maybe someday.
It's been great seeing you again.
Great to see you. Again.
Hopefully it's not another 15 years.
Yeah, come on, 15 minutes.
And thanks for coming out to Northridge to do this for us here. We're going to wrap it up and our program this morning. Our guest has been Devendra Benhart, and this is the last song from the session. It's called Catalina. The album is called Ma. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. See you later. Thanks.
You are the pain, Ted. Flowers in the big parade, flowers in the big parade. Deep inside your heart, staring at the sky, calling out the shapes clouds make as they pass by. And first they thank you by pulling out your tongue, then you apologize for being where you're from. But I could hear the animals painted on the cave, and I was taking a page from my own mistakes. It was an empty book until I took a look. I was taking a page from all the time I spent with a vanity that knows no end. The many unknown thrills, hard to translate, but time you're all the time, elegant heart rate. She would look at her non-linear as she reaches in her pocket to find all of humankind. I'm in my free Tibet shirt that's made in China, with evolution's last jumping off point behind you. But I've got an infinity of things left to refuse, and I was taking a page from Carole King. You're so far away, doesn't anybody stay? I was taking a page from remembering. There's so many things right there under my skin. Wandering through a world neither of us understands, and when you think you just can't stand it, zoom out and see the planet. 'Cause love is a little bit like crowd surfing in an empty club. Yeah, that's a little bit like something a lot like love. But things could really be much worse. At least their smiley face. Oh, but I can't take no more guitar solo or car chase. Words tend to mean the most in songs that are just music. Do you ever think that colors say, hey, who's your favorite human? But I was stranded in the place of my favorite details, and I was taking a page from my imaginary life, where I'm a good housewife. Yeah, it sounds nice. I was taking a page from never feeling like I was a girl or a guy, but I had to try.